بسم الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Pray you all are well. Welcome back to Young Black Muslima. This is the journey from hip-hop to hip-hop, where I learned my truth and who I was truly meant to be through the journey of becoming an MC. SubhanAllah, this is side B, like just B, literally B as it is. And you know, one of the things I could say about living in Brooklyn was transformative. Living in Brooklyn was a complete experience. And I feel like being as though I left, I knew it was complete when it was complete. But I'll just start from when I moved into my loft. Like living in my loft apartment with like other roommates was, it was a new experience for me. At the time I was 24 years old and I was still learning how to navigate New York. And even though I've been back and forth to New York from Jersey, I really wanted to live in New York because I didn't want to get a car. At that point, I realized that it was either get another car, because that was already going to be on my third car if I was to do that, and live in Jersey and not be a part of such a proactive, youthful environment, or literally live in Brooklyn and have access to all these subway lines, all these different places and communities, and grow and expand. And I really think that a lot of people move to New York at a certain age, especially in their 20s, because they're either tired of asking their parents for their car, or they're tired of like having to need a car to get around, or they just really want to learn more about themselves and, you know, be in a different environment to help them grow. And that's what Brooklyn was for me. Like, you know, I would definitely say NJ, you know, raised me and BK made me. Like, that's like a hip hop kind of like vibe. And as far as like my confidence in my art, you know what I mean? But obviously, looking back, I wouldn't say that now because I know Allah made me and raised me and is still raising me. But creatively, in an environment, you don't realize how much you need that. Like, you need to be amongst other artists. You need to be amongst other people who kind of understand where you're coming from. So at the time living in Brooklyn, I really just wanted to connect to more Muslims and just kind of understand the vibe. And so I didn't find that in Brooklyn. So inherently, I go back to New Jersey to my mentor's house, going back and back, always back and forth, back and back. And so being there with her, you know, I would spend the night sometimes, or, you know, just come early and leave like later in the night. It was very much a beautiful, transformative experience for me because I was able to see what I was missing at home, but also excited to get back to Brooklyn. And that G line, man, because I lived off the G line, that G line was something. It was just never where I needed to be. Now it's different, but when I was on a G-line, it was definitely not doing what it needed to do, and it was very frustrating. So one of the things that I would have to do is sometimes take the A and then maybe walk, right? Like I would have to walk from, where is that? I think like Barclays Center. I would have to walk from Barclays Center before Barclays Center was there, because Barclays Center, I think Barclays Center was there when I was living in Brooklyn. But yeah, well, I have to walk from Barclays Center all the way through like to Clinton Hill. Like it was crazy. It was real crazy. Fort Greene. Yeah, I went to Fort Greene Park to Clinton Hill. It was a lot. And so through those walks, I would reflect and I would sing and I would talk to God. And I remember one day I was listening to a record on my headphones, but like not like covered because I had to be, you know, attentive to my surroundings and be aware. But one thing I realized was that there was something that I didn't even realize was missing. And there was an emptiness. I really truly felt walking. Like I felt unsafe and I felt alone, right? And a lot of people feel this way, like when they're outside, they're by themselves and they're not like they don't feel safe to walk home alone. So I always carry like mace with me just for protection. And so even with gripping that, like I would grip it in my pocket, I still felt unsafe and I felt alone, right? And so I would listen to a lot of 90s hip hop, like I still do. Like I don't listen to it as much as I used to, but I will say that that is the era that is untouchable to me when it comes to hip hop. And yes, I remember listening to the Lauryn Hill song I was telling y'all about. And it was just very much like a reminder of what we tend to focus on. Yeah, I think it was that thing. That thing, that thing, that thing. I'm trying to think, 'cause I think that was it. I'm briefly remembering, but like also going back to realizing that what is that thing? Like, what is the thing that I'm missing? Right? Like, that's really what I literally was like, I'm missing something. What is that thing? And so as I was coming home and like I was almost close to home, there's this corner store right before you get to the apartment in Clinton Hill by the G line. And I would just stare at the G line and smile because I'm like, I'm happy I made it home because I didn't see anybody coming out of the train. So I was like, thank God I walked because I probably would have been waiting for mad long underground. And I don't like to be underground for too long. And so I just would look at the G and smile, right? Like I would look at the G line and smile. Green is my favorite color. And I would just be like, I'm grateful to be living off the G line, like just something real simple. But when I would go into the store by my house, I would like get like some water or like some snacks and stuff, like just some breakfast stuff for the next morning because I know I didn't go food shopping because I was in Jersey. And one of the things that would interest me was the people in the store because they were Muslim. And they, saw me. I was dressed like an African Muslim. Got my dukku on, my head wrap high up, and like a baggy sweater, maybe like some baggy pants. But it wasn't like a noticeably Muslim for them because they're so used to the hijabi, right? Like wearing kimar wrapped a certain way. I was wearing kimar. I was covered in a scarf and like modest, but to them they probably wouldn't even consider me to be Muslim. And reflecting on that, having been to Jerusalem, Palestine, like I could understand why. At the time, I thought it was very offensive, but I could understand why now a little bit more. But yeah, so going home, as I'm going home, walking by the Lafayette Gardens, Lafayette Projects, and as I'm walking away, like walking down the street, going home, I'm just like, I wonder if they're happy. Like, are they happy being Muslim? Because at the time I'm learning about Islam, right? I'm like going back and forth to my mentor's house thinking about like converting. And I'm like, like, I see that they sell alcohol. I see that they, smoke a lot. And it kind of just made me want to be Muslim even more. Not to say like because what they were doing, but more so like they're not perfect. And how I saw Islam was like a perfect thing. It wasn't like something I could attain. So it just really made me want to know if they were happy and do they have that hole filled that I felt like that thing that was missing, right? That thing. Like, really just trying to understand if Islam was for me, like looking at the Muslims around me. And seeing if they were happy, seeing if they were content. As I'm going in the apartment building and into the elevator, this brother says, "Peace, Queen." And I'm like walking into the apartment, like literally running up to the elevator. And I was like, "Peace." That was the first time I ever was greeted like that. Like, I never heard like someone call me Queen before, right? And this was in the beginning of me living in Brooklyn, very, very first month. And I really liked being called Queen. Like, I was like, oh, like you see what I see, what God sees and God knows, and that I'm a queen. So I'll just say, like, once I got upstairs, I immediately, got my little snacks in the fridge. I had made something previously that was still good that I like wanted to eat because I was so hungry from the trip and the walk. And I went into my room and I played a video. It was The Message, The Messenger. Yeah, I was gonna say The Message, like that hip hop. I think it's a hip hop movie called The Message and like talking about hip hop as the message. But The Messenger. And I remember sitting down. I think the movie was like 1 hour 45, a little longer. I remember sitting down that whole time, just wanting to know more about Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eating my food that I left when I stayed the weekend in Jersey. And I was like, from there on, wanting to know more. So I began to watch videos about Black people in Islam, about Africans in Islam, wanting to find more knowledge about Black folks in Islam, because I was like, if I'm gonna convert though, if I'm gonna convert to Islam, it needs to be connected to who I am becoming. And to know who you are is part of the battle of becoming a Muslim. What I'm reflecting on today is that fact, because you can quickly remove all the things that make you you. You can quickly denounce all the things that make you unique, the way the Creator made you, because you think that that's necessary in order to become a Muslim. But really, what you don't realize is happening is that you're actually doing that to fit in for people. Because Allah knows you, right? Like, my Creator knows me. And so who am I really like kidding? Like, so as I did research, I found a lot about slavery and Islam, a lot about, the Arab slave trade, Atlantic slave trade. And one of the things that I recognize in myself is that I don't like hearing just the slave narrative, because I know we were kings and queens. I know that connected to that, there was a lot of journeying to God and a lot of needing to leave behind that nafs or that ego in order to worship God perfectly, in order to be content. And so that thing that is missing, right? Like, from a lot of people's lives is that sirat, that straight path, that way, that know-how, the guide, right? And so the G line was a reflection of how that made me feel, was that I was getting closer to knowing the path God wanted to take for me. The G line was green. It was, it is green, and it is a color that I love so much, not knowing that it was a color that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved so much, and that I love him so much, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? After learning about him, after years, that took years to love him truly. And I'll talk about that later on in this journey. That's a different chapter. But since we're in chapter one, I will say that when I was sitting in my loft room in my Brooklyn apartment, and I heard noise around me, like roommates were still up, I realized that in order to fill that thing that I felt was missing, in order to really not feel alone, was to keep seeking knowledge, right? Like, to keep growing and understanding who I am in this deen, who I am on this path. And so, after watching that video about the history of slavery in Islam, or the history of slaves in Islam, I actually started to want to do more research, because I was like, there's more. There's not just this. There's not just the ones who are Muslim and were forced into Christianity, right? Like on the way over to the Western world or to America. There are those who are truly, undoubtedly, like born Muslim, came here without being enslaved. And feeling like that was my ancestry was a strong pull because I really don't have a mental slave mentality. Like, I don't have a mentality of having to work for someone else to be successful. I don't have a slave mentality of thinking that my provision comes from a person. I'm liberated because God liberated me. God liberated my people and made them Muslim before I was even Muslim. You know, I was born a Muslim, but my life didn't lead that until I became a Muslim. But within this journey of discovering if Islam was for me, as I sat in my apartment, like in my law firm, I was like, you can't learn more until you commit, until you commit to that covenant that God has laid out for you. Because God will not open up doors of knowledge for you, true knowledge, true haq, until you actually commit and sincerely commit. And so, as I kept learning and growing, things started to unfold. But that moment was major for me because I went from feeling alone to feeling like I'm not alone. But in order to feel like that all of the time, I have to seek knowledge. I have to seek knowledge. Knowledge is power, but not power over others. Knowledge is power for you to be free. And that's the reality. That's the true reality. So, inshallah, this was beneficial. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much. May Allah reward us and guide us to what He loves as we are on this journey, because it's really not one that you stop until you die. And even that journey is a different one, a different realm. And so we pray that Allah grant us what He loves and continuously grant us marifa, knowledge of Him, knowing of Him, only to want Him more, only to want to know Him more, but not to know Him just to know Him, but to love Him, to want to meet Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, and I pray that this is beneficial for those who are listening and also connecting to you and where you at in your journey or where you were. Inshallah khair. Thank you guys so much for listening. Inshallah, I'll see you in the next one. I pray that this story is resounding and connects Black Muslim women to their fitrah, because we shouldn't be left behind. We should be remembered as people of love and care. And as Black Muslim women, we should recognize our history and our place in Islamic history. And that is what helped me to understand who I could become. Alhamdulillah. Thank you guys so much. But may Allah increase you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.